The LA Kings insider, good friend of the show, John Rosen, joins us once again to preview the Oilers and the Kings tomorrow night in Los Angeles. John, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. Got to hear some brass bonanza for a little bit there, and that's always welcome. So kick off a good hit.
Pause of Friday, baby. We play it all the time. It's awesome. And the Kings, after a little bit of a slow start, are definitely feeling positive about themselves. And, Carter and Toffoli once again leading the way offensively, especially Toffoli, 10 goals in 16 games.
Yeah, that's been the Kings' best line. And it's really been the line that has been carrying this entire team offensively. 5-on-5, the Kings have been somewhat middling in terms of generating production. And there's not a ton other than those guys right now. But Toffoli now, 10 goals, 15 points in 16 games. Jeff Carter, 7 goals, 16 points in 16 games. Milan Lucic also has 3 game-winning goals. He's been skating to the left of those guys. He's got now 9 points plus 3 rating in 16 games. So in terms of 5-on-5, they've been the most productive. Right now, the Kings' power play has just been absolutely terrific. They're 10 for their last 29, getting a lot of shots on net. They're getting their production right now from the power play and from that Jeff Carter line.
You look at the Kings, those guys are going. Marian Gaborik hasn't been going. How come?
It's been a tough go. If you talk to Daryl and you ask Daryl Sutter about it, it's because he's not getting in front of the net, to the net, as much as he had been in the past. When we'd asked about last year, what had made Gaborik such an effective player, he called it those, quote, bang-bang hands plays around the net. He's a natural goal scorer. Natural goal scorers aren't just going to beat you with snipes and off the rush all the time. They're going to score a variety of different goals, and they're going to score a lot of goals from close range, second chances, power plays, etc. And just those goals right around the net haven't been there yet for Gaborik this season. 16 games, 2 points, and against the New York Islanders last night, played under 15 minutes, did not register a shot on goal. There was one missed shot there. So that's important to getting the Kings going a little bit, just because they need to start spreading their scoring out. When you look at the underlying numbers with Gaborik, it doesn't really suggest any major drop-off. His analytics had still been fine. Shots are still coming from around the same area, just not getting as many looks that close to the net anymore.
The Edmonton Oilers come to town, and obviously they're decimated without the McDavid injury, Eberle coming back, but he's still not up to par. That top line of the Oilers right now is the line that's going. Obviously, they'll see a heavy dose of Drew Doughty. Who is Doughty's playing almost 27 minutes again. Jake Muzzin next on that team at 22, and I think Alex Martinez is close to 22 minutes as well. Even Braden McNabb, they really kind of roll their top four defensemen heavily in LA this year.
Yeah, and that's been really one of the stories of the team this season. How will this younger defense, with having Robin Regier having moved on, Willie Mitchell 2 years ago, he's no longer part of that team. So you're seeing guys that, Drew Doughty is the elder statesman there, at least in terms of the experience that he has, with the Kings right now. You know what you're going to get from him every single night, and he's just been phenomenal, really, especially over the last 12, 13 games or so. But after that, you've seen guys, as you mentioned, Martinez, McNabb, Muzzin, really step into slightly wider roles. They're getting more penalty-killing time. Muzzin and Martinez had already been power play fixtures. But right now they're being asked to do basically everything, all 200 feet of the ice, all areas, all situations. And of those guys, the player that's probably stepped up the most comparatively with last year has been Jake Muzzin. Muzzin 2 seasons ago, when the Kings won the Stanley Cup in 2014, really had a breakthrough season. Kings probably don't win that cup if not for Jake Muzzin, especially what he did in that San Jose series, where he only was on the ice for 1 goal against throughout those 7 games. I'm talking about all situations. So he was fantastic then, but after last year, in which there were some growing pains and they were looking for the consistency and the regularity from Muzzin, he's really stepped through. The numbers, 7 points, 15 games. He's an offensive type, 16 games, excuse me. He's an offensive type defenseman. But really, when he finds that success, it's by being smart and being good in his own end, calming plays down in his own end, and the offense will come just by virtue of being good back in his own end of the ice. He's been fantastic. Alec Martinez has also been very strong. And McNabb, though he had a little bit of a hiccup earlier in the week, has for the most part been pretty good. But again, it's coming back to the consistency, the regularity, and not having any off nights.
John Rosen joins us, LA Kings insider. We know that I assume we're going to see a click tomorrow night after Enroth played last night. But Enroth, in 3 starts, has faced 96 shots and only allowed 2 goals. He pretty much all you can ask from your backup.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting. The Islanders signed Thomas Greiss on July 1st, and Pierre LeBrun, right after the Isles had signed him, had said that the Kings really had made a strong push for Greiss. As it turns out, their plan B has been absolutely phenomenal. 0.67 goals against average, one shutout in three games, and he's not getting, you know, easy mop-up work. His three games were at San Jose, at St. Louis, and versus the New York Islanders, and he's 3-0 right now. So he's been very good. It's interesting, you know, he saw two goalies in this new kind of era of these behemoths in net, 6'4" guys, 6'3". Last night it was Halak, who was 5'11", and Jonas Enroth, who's 5'10". Some really interesting conversations up on my site at LAKingsInsider.com, just talking with Bill Ranford about the state of goaltending right now, modern goaltending. He's very much in favor of reducing the size of goaltenders' equipment. It really seems that the majority of those who have weighed in on the subject have been. But then even Ranford was asked, you know, were you to be 16, 17, 18 years old right now, and were you to be scouted right now at this point, would teams even really pay that much attention to you just because he's 5'11", 6 feet tall? And the answer is yes, but the teams will always give that opportunity, an extra look to the goaltender who's 6'3", 6'4". He equated it to being a pitcher who has a real live arm, can throw in the mid-90s. Yeah. Those guys will always get chances. But, you know, it's interesting. Enroth's been very good. And, you know, he's, you know, one of the, you know, I don't want to say dying breed, but he's a smaller goaltender, and you don't see too many of those anymore.
No. I think Halak's the only goalie in the league who's a starter who's under 6 feet tall. And Jonathan Quick's, he's considered small almost at 6'1", yeah. And he had some really interesting quotes in an article talking about the equipment, admitting that, you know, there are guys out there that are likely, not abiding by the rules, although there's not a ton of regulations, and there's only Kay Whitmore, one guy in the NHL who has to follow it. Quick seems to be a goalie, and he's on board with them putting regulations on equipment. And when you have a guy who's won two Stanley Cups, who's considered one of the better goalies, saying, hey, this is an issue, we got to fix it, you got to think it's going to be addressed in the offseason.
Absolutely, and Quick noted the, you know, the difficult job that Kay Whitmore has in doing so too. The interesting thing was with Quick and especially Enroth as well as Ranford noted that when they reduced the size of the goalies' pads two seasons ago, the goalies liked it. It kind of backfired. It made them a little bit more mobile. They got across the crease a little bit quicker. The goalies are now seem to be in favor of that. But you know, you have a couple people who are, you know, advocating for making the larger nets. I don't think that that would be in the majority of those that I've spoken to within the Kings organization. But regardless, Jonathan Quick is somebody that is an athletic goaltender, somebody with excellent lateral movement, and somebody that is very aggressive, comes out very much. So, you know, he's never really been one to get through on any larger size pads, larger equipment. It's really just been his own athleticism. But it's going to be interesting to see how this league adjusts and does take it into account, because it does appear as though it will be addressed as soon as this coming off season.
One last one, injury updates for the Kings. Any guys coming back anytime soon?
Doesn't look so right now. Andrei Kopitar, it appears, has weathered a scare. Got a word from hockey ops that he's fine, and also spoke with John Stevens, the associate coach, and he reiterated that, said it was just a maintenance day that kept Kopitar off the ice. He was hurt and stung on the very last shift of the game when he took a Nick Leddy shot, blocked it off what appeared to be lower leg, that area. He should be fine and good to go against the Oilers. Dwight King, he broke his foot and needed surgery in the final preseason game, blocking a shot. That was an 8-to-10-week diagnosis. This Saturday, tomorrow, will be 6 weeks since that injury. Matt Green has been dealing with an upper body ailment. He's only gotten into three games this year. He's still on injured reserve. Doesn't appear as though he'll be coming off. So defensive pair should be McNabb, Doughty, Muzzin, Martinez, and then Christian Ehrhoff with Jamie McBain.
And one quick last one for you, John. You watched him the last few seasons. At the right salary of maybe $1 million a year, do you think a team takes a shot at Mike Richards this season now that he's skating with Kitchener?
I don't know. I can't speak. I haven't spoken to other hockey operations executives just about that right now at this point. I would hope so. He's somebody that is a great dressing room individual, and we all know, having seen him in Los Angeles for the last several years, what he meant to this Kings team, even when, you know, he wasn't still a first or second line center, but was, you know, more of a depth role. He could still play kill penalties. He still is a very intelligent hockey player, so I hope he gets that opportunity. The last that I had heard, just like everybody else, is just that he's skating with the Kitchener Rangers back in Ontario. So at this point right now, I don't know, but I would love to see that happen.
John, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Will do. Thanks so much, Jason.
John Rosen.